Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. I love this book. I started reading this book again and again as soon as I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's really been a blessing to my life. Because 1 John, he just breaks it down. He makes it simple, but yet it's very profound. But I just want to read a couple of verses here, and then I'm going to read two or three verses here, and I'm going to get into a little bit of our lesson this morning, or at least a few scriptures to remind us. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we to you, unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And he said, I'll go ahead to the fourth verse, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." So John's sharing here, and he just opens his heart, and he says, these are the things which we've seen and heard. We're going to declare them to you. We looked upon them. We handled the very word of life, Jesus himself. We saw him. We saw his acts. We saw what he did. And we are here to declare to you that he is Lord. He is life. Yes, we talked a little while ago, you know, at Easter, that yes, he's risen. His resurrection life is here. We saw him before and we saw him after. And we walked with him. And he said, these are the things, this life which was manifested. We've seen it. We bear witness of it. And we show unto you this eternal life which was with the Father. And then if we go to chapter 2, verse 6, just want us to read that verse again one time. This verse always kills me. I say kills me because it challenges me, I should say. It doesn't really kill me, but it challenges all of us, I think, because it says, "He that says or saith he abides or lives in him, in Christ, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." And I like that verse, but it also challenges me very much. Because as he is, he says in another place, so are we in this earth. So as Jesus is, he is our great example, and we know that, and we don't change that. But as his example, I wanted to look today at some places in the New Testament where they did see Jesus, and what they saw, and what John's saying, we saw. We saw him. We saw what Jesus said. We heard what he said, and we saw what he did. He says, we're eyewitnesses of this. And he that says, whoever says, I know him. If we're really going to say we know him, we're going to keep his commands, you know, and he's not a liar, but where was it? Verse 6, sorry. He that says he abides in him ought himself. That means me and you. That's us. Also, so to walk, we should walk even as he walked. Our manner of living and our manner of life should be like him. And when we see Jesus, we see him often. You know, he was what? Moved with compassion. They were a sheep having no shepherd. Because even though people received miracles, they still, this was right after. He said that right after he did these miracles, he said, these are people here. They're sheep having no shepherd. In other words, they still needed someone to look after, you know, to look after them and to say, hey, this is the way. Christ is the way. You can maintain, you can walk in these things. But anyway, I wanted us to see a few places where Jesus manifested. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. I actually have several places, but we'll see how many we get to today. Matthew 4, 23. You can put 23 through 25 if you want to. Chapter 4. It says, "And Jesus," this is a revival basically that he had in Galilee, "and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments and devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. So here we have a situation where Jesus was in Galilee and he began teaching. He began preaching the gospel of the kingdom and he brought healing. So part of what Jesus did and part of what he brought was he would teach the people. He began to teach. He was a traveling minister. Amen, we would say. But his ministry didn't end with just teaching. It didn't end with just the preaching. But he brought forth, as John had said, he was manifest unto us. And the things that he brought with him were manifest unto us. We saw these things. We saw Christ. We saw what he did, John said. And he said, these are the things that Jesus did right here. Here's one of them. One of the places where there was revival through the ministry of Jesus. Now, we can look over here. Let's look at Luke 4, verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. That was Peter. Simon or Simon Peter. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And here we see that Jesus begins also a little bit of a revival here, where with Peter's mother-in-law being raised up, he goes into the house and said, would you pray for my mother-in-law, Jesus? Would you come and minister to her? And he rebuked the fever. He spoke to things, didn't he? We saw that he taught, he preached, he brought healing, but he did more than that. He came in and he came with authority. Remember when they said, you know, he was, even when he was, you know, that Jesus spoke as one that had authority. He wasn't like the other ministers. He wasn't like the other rabbis. Mm-hmm. But he would speak with authority. And he spoke to the fever. And the fever left her. And she gets up, ministered to them. Apparently, word got out. Because here they come. It's getting sundown. Here comes all the people. How many knows when things start happening in your life? See, we each have influence wherever we are. This is, yes, the world is dark. Yes, the world is lost. Yes, it looks like people have gone crazy. You know, I mean, pretty much. They've lost all reason of truth. Because, you know, the enemy has come. He sowed these seeds into men's life for a long time. Even when I was in school, it was beginning that, you know, they started coming out. Whatever feels good, do it. It's all about feeling. But our life is all about truth and standing upon the truth. And standing for the Word of God, that the Word of God is truth. It cannot lie. It's something that gives us a foundation and a stability that men so desire. They really need. But yet at the same time, they don't understand why, but they scoff at it. You know, oh, you're intolerable. You're just not flexible. You just don't have any. No, we're not. We cannot be. Because God is the same yesterday, mm-hmm. today, and forever. And he set some things up. It was the same way in the early church when they had pagan Christians come in, you know, and they were standing, you know, they had to stand against this terrible paganism. And they thought they were intolerable. And they thought they were very, you're not flexible at all. What's the matter with you? You guys are just unsociable. You're not even, we can't associate with that. No, we have no desire to do that. Because they're lost and they're undone and they're without God in this world. You know, and we stand as a part in this earth right now. We are pushing back the forces of darkness. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the tearing down of the strongholds of the enemy that have come. They're the strongholds of thought. See, he's planted that thought in this world to try to tear down what God has set into motion. But we are those that are strong and founded upon the word of God. And here Jesus, we see here where he healed the mother-in-law, he spoke to it, and then it says here he laid his hands. You know, any sick, he brought them to him and laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Now, every time he didn't lay his hands on all of them, but here he did. So we see the hands of Jesus. And now you and I, of course, are the hands of Christ. Mm-hmm. We have opportunities to lay hands on people and to touch people and to be that part of the body of Christ. Okay, another place we see Jesus and what he was doing and how his ministry operated. Go to Luke 7, verse 19. Are we in Luke? Yeah, we're in Luke. Just turn the page here. A couple of pages in my Bible, but Luke 7, verse 19. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And let's see, when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to thee, talking about Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So here John was wondering for sure. He's going, are you the one that's to come? I guess he's having a moment of maybe doubt in his mind, apparently. He says, come here, guys. I need a couple of you. Go ask him for sure. I got to know that he's the one. And they come back with the answer. And the answer that Jesus gave was not necessarily the answer you would expect, would you? You would think, well, yes, I'm the Christ. I'm the Son of the living God. No, he never declared that, really. Others would say that about him, and he would just say, oh, it's not time for that declaration right now. He was not himself saying, I am the Son of God, but he said, I am of my Father. I'm here as that man, that Son of Man, he would say many times. But he never really called himself the Son of God, because he was in a different role. Mm-hmm. He laid down his deity, per se. Even though he had that, but he laid that down and operated totally as a man. Otherwise, if he didn't, you and I can't operate like he did. We can't walk as he did. It wouldn't be right for him to say that. So he had to walk totally as a man. If he wasn't a man, he wouldn't have been able to be tested or tried or have any temptation. Yet he was tempted in all ways, even like we are. And so here we see that John called, and the answer that he gave back, Tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. He's saying those that are broken have been ministered unto. The ones that the world sets aside. I mean, you know, even in this day, they had leper colonies. They have to go off and live on their own. They weren't out in society. They come into society, unclean, unclean, here I am. They've got to shout out, and they have to make it clear so that everybody can stay away from them. It couldn't be about any person. It's almost like we have today. You know, we got people get the COVID. We have to kind of keep them separated. We want to keep it from spreading about. They don't want anybody else to get this disease. But Jesus wasn't afraid of it. He wasn't afraid of the devil. Amen. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that it might have life and have it more abundantly. And we walk. And as we see here that he brought life to the broken. He said, and the poor had the gospel preached to them. They were poor, whether they were poor in spirit or they had, you know, they were poor in the sense they didn't have the health. You know, we have different ways we need to see that word. You know, people are poor in all kinds of ways. Some are poor, they don't have enough money. You know, Jesus came to help them with that too. We'll give our lives to him. And he's saying, this is what Jesus was doing. He said, John, nobody else can do that. That was the answer for John. John knew that Jesus was coming. But he's here, and apparently, I mean, I can't say that for sure, but I mean, for some reason, he wanted to be assured in his own heart. He said, go ask him. You know, and they got back the great testimony of what they saw and what they heard Jesus doing. When we see what Jesus does, he shows us the will of the Father. We hear what he says. Love our neighbor. Do good to those that persecute you. Forgive. Pray for them. Do good to them. These are the words, the commands of Christ, that we can walk even as he walked. And we can expect him, when we see those that are broken, that he will use us, that his power is not too short. There's somebody each of us knows that we are an influence to. It may be one to one, it may be one to two, or one to a family, or whatever it is in your life, but you have influence with somebody. We all have influence over someone. And influence is really a big key. We don't think we do. But I'm telling you, when you are there, people watch you. When you go about your daily chores, whatever you're doing, they're watching you. You know, when I was at work, I know they'd watch me all the time. But I'm not afraid. See, there's certain things that, there's certain things, conditions that happen once in a while that I could care less if they fire me or not. Because I know I worked one place, and a guy came in, and I'm talking to him, and I says, well, how you doing today? Well, I'm back. I was thinking about committing suicide. And when I hear that, I know that is a devil talking to somebody. And I told him straight out, I said, you know what? You need to understand that is a demon spirit talking to you. That's the devil. I said, I'll pray for you right now, and that thing's going to leave you. It's going to get off of your mind. It may not have been possessing somebody, but those thoughts are not your thoughts. Mm-hmm. That's what the devil wants you to think, that's your thought. Mm-hmm. See, that's how he plays. He plays on your emotion and stirs you up. So he can't kill you, but he has to talk you into killing yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I just, right there, I don't care who's around. I don't care if they come over me and say, you don't have a job anymore. We're talking about somebody's life. Mm-hmm. It was life and death. And it's going to be life as far as I'm concerned. You know, because I said, if you're willing for me to pray for you, then you have opportunity. Now, if somebody says, no, don't bother me, we can pray for them as an intercessor, as someone that's, you know, on our own time or whatever. But if somebody's standing in front there and I have that opportunity, I just sense God saying, no, we can't let that pass. I'm not going to let this pass, Lord, because that person is hurting. That person is some way they're crying out for help. Most people I know, some do it. Most of the time they don't talk about it, they really do it. You know, they're just quiet, or maybe they did a little bit, but it seems like they're doing better, and wham, all of a sudden they're gone. And we've seen it happen. It's unfortunate. But we got to stay ready, amen? We can. We've got the same power that Jesus had. The same Holy Ghost, the same authority, the same ability as he walked in can be in you. Mm-hmm. But we've got to stay in tune with him. Jesus didn't just do everything, you know, and heal every single person he walked by. He didn't. That's a fact.
Right.
I mean, we know that. But he heard the voice of his Father. And those, everyone that came to him, he did.
Mm-hmm.
If they came asking, they received. One way or another, he got it across to them. Whether he had to teach him a little bit, whatever it is. But and sometimes he had to encourage him. You know, remember when the servant, he came and he says, come to the house, we got somebody, your servant's dying. And, then here comes a woman with the issue of blood, touches him, and then they go on. And somebody comes up to him and he says, oh, don't bother the master anymore. He's already gone. And Jesus encourages him and he says, only believe.
Mm-hmm.
Only believe, son. It's okay. Because he knew, I am the resurrection. God's power, it's not too late. Sometimes we think it's too late to pray, but it's not. Maybe they already expired, maybe they already died. It's not too late. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And when we come to him, amen, we believe what he said. And we're not believing in our own ability, but the ability of God and what Jesus did at the cross alone. So really, it's building ourselves, and that's what we're looking at today. We're seeing how Jesus operated. We're allowing faith to rise in us that all things are possible, that God can use you and I. Because if he used Jesus, and that's what John said, I'm here to declare to you the things I heard him say, the things I saw him do. Glory to God. It was manifested. I saw manifested things through the hands of Jesus. We saw it. We, touched it. We handled him. He is the word of life. I'm telling you, he's the word of life. John was saying he is the word of life. And that's who we're declaring to you, that you might believe, that your joy might be full. Ooh, glory to God. Not partly full, but full. He didn't say half full. You wouldn't have a little more joy in life. Oh, you can face life problems now better. No, joy would be full.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, yes, we face things that are not joyful. I understand that. But the joy he's talking about comes so deep within. It's a joy that springs up from that well within. The joy of salvation. He said, draw waters from the joy of salvation. Amen. That is a deep well. Let's back up for a second. This is in two places, but I'm just going to share one. Matthew 14:34-36. If you're taking notes, you can put down Mark 6:53-56. 14:34. This is good for me, when I sit down here. I'm used to preaching and moving and walking around a little bit. This is good, really good for me. It helps me discipline myself. Matthew 14:34-36. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the man of that place had knowledge of him, they went out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him, that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. So they go over to the land of Gennesaret. It says, and when the man of that place, didn't say exactly who he was, but he found knowledge of him. Maybe it was the mayor. I don't know. In other words, it was someone that was well known, apparently. And they came to that country. And they said to him, sir, would you please, Jesus, they talked to him, that we could just, can we just come by and touch your garment? Can we touch the hem of your garment? Can we touch the tassels on your clothes? Can we just touch you, Jesus? And how many know when you touch Jesus with faith, healing power flows, amen? They had a revelation. I believe, I can't prove it, but perhaps they heard about the woman with the issue of blood. She touched his clothes and she was made completely whole. Maybe they knew the woman with the issue of blood. Maybe they had seen her go to all those doctors and couldn't get well. She'd had it for a long time. Apparently they heard, hey, if you could touch Jesus, you could be made whole. and if we can touch him. He was touched. He's already touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He came to us. But when we touch him, many times it's with our praise, with our heart, with our life, with our words. We touch him. Really, the only thing we have to offer, we have nothing of ourselves, but we have our own will, and we have worship that we can give him. That he doesn't demand, but we can freely worship him. And when we worship him, he's touched by our heart and by our worship. The Bible says, what the praises, our praises, he inhabits the praises of his people. And when God inhabits, how many know something changes? Mm-hmm. Things change in our body, in our heart, in our life, in our mind, in our emotion. He comes to heal us in every way. Hallelujah. And even in our, you know, he brings us to a place where we're able to establish things even in our relationships with other people. Because a lot of life is not just relating to God, but it's how are we going to bring that to relate to somebody else? Are we going to bring it into our marriage? Are we going to bring it into our work? Are we going to be that person that's of integrity, that's on time, that does the right thing when the boss isn't looking? Or are we going to be the person just like the world that just, you know, puts in their time and then they goof off when the boss not around and, you know, act like they're working so hard, you know, and the boss thinks they're the other boss, you know, the manager thinks they're just the hardest worker, you know, and you know they're not, you know, they give you a hard time, you know, and they, you know, I've had it happen before, you know, you're doing all the work and somebody else gets all the credit and they goof off half the time. Mm-hmm. Well, the only way, reason the place looks good is because you did your work and the other three guys were lazing around. You know, and you did three times the work, but the boss didn't see it. But eventually, if you can believe God, you'll be faithful, they will see it. It will come to light. And, you know, and sometimes we think they're not seeing it, but sometimes they do see it. And you're just being tested. You know, the devil's a liar. Mm-hmm. You know, God wants to see us faithful when we're, you know, whether or not we're recognized or not. It's not about us being recognized for our great effort. It's about us doing it unto the Lord. He said, whatever you do in word or deed, we do it unto God for his pleasure. Because I want my life to be to your pleasure, Lord. That's what gives me joy. Not when somebody else sees me, but when he sees me. And I know he sees me. And I have a confidence in me because I know I'm doing what's right. And I know the Father's going to reward me for what is right. He's going to give me the favor. He's going to bless me. And I'm not doing it because other people are blessing me. I'm doing it because my Father says, this is how you do it, mm-hmm. unto the Lord. Yeah. We work with all of our heart unto the Lord, whatever we do. And so his ability is in us. And yes, these things happen. The great things happen. But you know when they happen or how they happen? They didn't just, they happen because you're consistent. You just live your life faithfully to the Lord. You know, the great, great things happen. It wasn't because Jesus one day came out and started just having miracles and everything. No, he's been doing this all along. He's been working with the Father, doing just what the Father said. I mean, he didn't have any miracles till he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had none. No miracles as a child, not till after he's about 30. You know, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He received that. He was baptized, declaring, hey, guys, I'm going all the way. You know, he went under that water and came up resurrected. And the Father said, this is my son. Him I'm well pleased. He was already making that decision. I'm going all the way to death. He became obedient, says in Philippians 2, he became obedient even to the point of death. The death on the cross. Specifically, it says it. Right here, this is the death he was obedient to all the way. And all of us have our cross that we carry. We have a cross to bear. We have things that we lay down and we pick up the things of God. Hallelujah. But we can do that because he's in us. He's with us. We see this is the life of Christ. This is his consistency that he walks in. Revival at the Sea of Galilee, Matthew 15. Verse 29. I didn't know I was going to say all that, but it was good anyway. Hallelujah. If I get a little sidetracked, we're going to praise the Lord and move on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 15:29. Matthew 15:29. And Jesus departed from thence, and came near unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into the mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Yes, I know it says dumb there, but that means mute, or they couldn't hear. You know, they couldn't speak, I should say. You know, the dumb, the deaf, the maimed, and many others. He cast them down at their feet and healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus, and it says right here, and Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and having nothing to eat. I'll not send them away fasting, lest they faint on the way. But here he's saying, right after that, he's talking, he said, I've got compassion. He still continued to have compassion on people. You see, sometimes we get to a place, and I think there's great things that happen in a service, or God does something wonderful, and we don't get compassion, we get complacent. Mm-hmm. Well, look at God moved. God's moving. Hallelujah. It's a new move of God. And we try to do the same thing every service, and mm-hmm. it doesn't work. See, we get caught in ruts sometimes. Yeah. And I think Jesus, you can't find him ever caught in the rut.
Mm-hmm.
He was just listening to his Father. And the moment they thought he was going to go, you know, the disciples, remember when he said, I needs go through Samaria. Go, oh, you don't want to go there, Jesus, you know, they're going to kill you. They're going to, we'll go with him. We'll all die together. I mean, their great faith. It just seems like they never were, you know. He was the leader, though. He led them to that place. You know, and then when Lazarus is sick, you know, oh, well, we're not going yet. He waited a few days. He didn't just rush off and heal him. So he didn't do it the same way every time. You know, sometimes he went immediately. Other times, like, you know, you don't want to do that, Jesus. They're going to kill you there. We'll all go die with you, I guess. But he said, I need to go there. He was listening to his Father. And sometimes the things we think we need is not what we need.
Mm-hmm.
See, we think we need a new car. We think we need our wife to change their attitude. We think, you know, this person or that person in our life needs to change. I need more money. And what we really need is we need him. Yes. We need to know him. We need to hear from him. We need to fellowship with him. We need him to fulfill us from the inside out. And that's why Jesus was able to do the things he did. He was here even trying to go away. He went away. He would draw away and spend time with his Father. The Bible says even a great while before it was light. Great while. That means he got up early in the morning. You're not saying you have to get up early. You might be a late person. You can stay up all night. Whatever it takes. But he would draw away to be with his Father. And each of us has to have that time with the Father. Because, see, he said, I don't do any of these works of my own. Because I am a man just like you. I am God, but I have come as a man. I laid down all that I am. I didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he chose. He said, I've become the servant. I've become that person that will give my all for mankind. And I'm here to show you the heart and the will of the Father. Whew. I mean, that's good news. You see, I thought, you know, well, Lord, what I need. You know, see, did you hear that? Oh, Lord, look what I desire. This is what I need. And we want all of our things, what we think we need. But God knows what we need. He knows that we need a fellowship with him. sometimes a better paying job is not what we need. We need to fellowship with Him and let Him become our supply. Let Him give us the wisdom and what we already have so that we have time with Him. Because there's nothing that can replace that fellowship with Him. Nothing. We can't fill it with anything. I mean, people of the world, we know they, you know, even sometimes people in the church, we try to fill it with, you know, having another social or having a, you know, nothing wrong with having one. But, you know, it's just one after another and another program and another thing. And, oh, I went to this and I learned from that. And we've learned so many things, you know, but we're not fulfilled. Even sometimes hearing preaching all the time is good. But if we never take time to fellowship with Him ourselves and make it a part of our life and we do it, it doesn't do us any good. I mean, what's the use in that? I mean, I didn't come across church, you know, across town, I should say, to come to the church and worship God, you know, half-heartedly. You know, if we took the effort to get up, let's worship Him with all of our heart. You know, say, Lord, I know, yes, maybe you messed up on the way to church. Well, Lord, you know, get with your person or whatever. Maybe you got in an argument with your family or your son or your daughter or your husband or wife or whatever it is. Let's leave it right then. Come in and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I forgive them. Lord, forgive me, Father. I allowed myself to get upset, but I'm going to worship you today. I'm coming to you, Father. And sometimes, you know, you get in your Bible and you're thinking, I do not feel like reading this Bible today. And sometimes you sit down and you're trying to solve, or maybe something's going on and it's real important to you and you're all excited about it, you know, and you're thinking about that, trying to read your Bible. No. Mind, get back here. We're going to spend a little time because this is God speaking to me. God is speaking to us this morning. We're looking at some places how Jesus operated. But He didn't operate there by accident. He didn't come there just, you know, because He's Jesus. He was still a man. Mm-hmm. He operated as He heard His Father, mm-hmm. as He saw His Father operate. Mm-hmm. And that's to be the mode that each of us can walk in. Amen. So we see here, anyway, hallelujah. It didn't just happen. And so we see a little revival here where the great multitudes begin to come and they bring them with them. I mean, it's pretty powerful. I mean, Jesus had an awesome ministry, but these are things we can begin to believe God for. Amen. Say, now, Lord, you had the lame to be made whole. The lame, that's somebody that can't walk. That would be a wheelchair. That would be someone that's, you know, bound to a bed. They can't walk. The blind, we know what that is. They can't see, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have vision. And sometimes people don't have spiritual vision. They can't see. They're blinded by the enemy. But you have a word for them. And Jesus comes. He healed the blind. And those that were mute, they couldn't hear, dumb or mute, they couldn't speak. They were maimed. Now that one gets me all the time. That means something had to be missing. The maimed. That's something gone off. You know, maybe their finger got cut off. You know, some of those carpenters, the ones that aren't so, you know, they're a real good carpenter, but somehow one day they made a little mistake and lost that finger. He made the maim whole. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Amazing. And many others. And cast them down at Jesus' feet and He healed them. Whew. Healed them. All. All of them. Said, insomuch they wondered. They were in wonderment. It was so much so, and so that's where we're looking to go. That's not just the only reason we're seeking God. We're seeking Him for us, that we're whole. But in our wholeness, these are things we can begin to expect, because that's what Jesus did. He preached, taught, He preached. We've done a lot of teaching. You know, most of us have heard a lot of teaching. We're doing some teaching today. We've heard a lot of preaching. And we're doing a little preaching today. But we haven't seen as many miracles and as much as Jesus saw. These guys, that's what John was talking about. That's what he saw manifested. I saw him manifest himself. He was here, I'm telling you, his manifestation brought some things. Now the disciples had the same works that Jesus had. Mm-hmm. They were just like his teacher. That same anointing, that same mantle that was on him, mm-hmm. was on them. And that same mantle that's on Jesus, when we become his disciple and we listen to his word, that same mantle is going to come upon each one of us, all yes. of us. It's not just the preacher. It's not just the teacher. It's not just somebody, oh, well, I don't know if I'm called to do anything. Well, you're called to walk with him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And whatever he leads you to do, wherever you are, whenever that may be, when they call your house. Well, let me get the pastor. That's okay, but that's not where we want to stay. We want to come to the place when they call you because they know your prayers are answered. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where each of us have those things. Jesus wants to be multiplied in all of us. Glory to God, and fill the earth with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. That's why we seek him. That's why we fast and pray. That's why we're interceding. We're believing God to change hearts and to change minds and to come in all his glory and all his power. These are the things we can expect. Glory to God. I'm sorry, I'm just getting excited.
Amen.
For normal church shall change, I say, from one place of glory to another, day by day, as you seek after him and know his voice. Know the voice of the Father, I say. Come and hear of him. And listen clearly and obey. For in the obedience of that, you shall mature and grow. And at last, you shall see many of the things that your heart longs for, that you read about. Oh, watch and see, says the Lord. If you'll hunger and thirst after me, you shall be filled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. No wonder I was getting excited. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank you for that, Father. We believe that. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because Amen. It's not about us staying in one place. But we're not just thrust into another place without having the character of God within us. See, Jesus walked in all humility. All his thing was unto the Lord. I mean, he didn't care what they thought. You remember when they said to him they couldn't take his doctrine anymore. You know, they were the ones asking him all these questions. He's answering them, and they didn't like the answer. If you drunk my blood, eat my flesh, drink my blood, you shall taste, you know, if you've tasted of who I am. You know, he's not talking to them in riddles. They understood the covenant of God. They knew God had a covenant. They know what he's talking about. They took off. They said, you know what? You know, I that's just too much for me. I just can't take it anymore. And then he turns to his 12. Are you guys going to leave me too? See, he wasn't looking to the praise of man. He didn't care who was following. He didn't care if he lost all of them. Didn't make any difference to Jesus. He'd have walked on. He said he walked on alone. Kept preaching the same gospel. Hallelujah. If you want to believe, you can. He didn't make any of them go to heaven. And neither will you or I. But we can give them opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
When we bring the fullness of the gospel, we can say, listen, this is your option. It's going to be clear. I mean, they were marveling. They were wondering. It was a great wonderment to the people that were standing there. And when we see great wonders from the Lord, amen. People are going to have to make a decision. They're going to know that you have been with Jesus. You and I. We're birthing these things in. Some of them won't take place without it. You know, we can believe God. We can confess the word of God. We can receive things for ourselves a lot of times. But we can't guarantee always for everybody else without prayer. without the intercession, without the fellowship with the Father, it's probably not going to, it's just not, I'm just going to tell you, it's not going to happen. He said, until Zion travailed, you know, there were no births. And it's not just in the, you know, not just being birthed into the kingdom, but being birthed in other areas of their life. Some people are not going to get healed until somebody prays for them, unless somebody intercedes for them. Yep. Sometimes they're just too far gone. There's no place to, you know. That's just, what are you going to do if you're died? What are you going to do if you died? I'm going to believe myself back to life. You know, I have nothing here to believe with. The authority has to rest in the air. That's why we have a body. Mm-hmm. It leaves our authority right here. And it's under Jesus, yes. But when we speak, it's just like Him speaking. Hey, you get up, get back into that body now. Don't give up until we have the fullness of all that God has. I'm not saying that every person's going to get raised from the dead. I mean, that would be ridiculous. Because some people, you know, the Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, and that's the way it is. Doesn't mean you have an appointed day, but there's a time that you and I are going to die, each one of us. Sometime, you know, we're going to have to go to heaven. But until then, we got this body, we got work to do. And we've got a Father to know and glory to come in this earth. Hallelujah. That was what, Matthew
15.
Matthew 29, 31. Let's look at Mark 3. Mark 3. This is a good chapter too. I like this one. But verse 7. 7 through 12 says, But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan. And they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he steadfastly charged them that they should not make him known. So here's Jesus. And he comes to the sea. Apparently, they all had heard so much. There's this multitude. They are thronging him. They're getting around him. That means just crushing him almost. And I know that there's a few people have seen that. I know Pastor Days had that happen before when he was in, you know, Mexico. People so came. They were coming and coming so much. I mean, they finally had to get some men just to get around him so he could move. They had to get, I mean, several. 5, 6, 7 men that just stood around and hold arms together just so that they could move him to get away from that situation. I mean, everybody rushed and wanted to touch when the miracles began to happen. And, you know, this happened in Jesus' life, and I'm sure it's happened to other people. You know, people try to touch somebody, you know, that has great miracles in their life. But they're going to want to touch you too. See, I saw this one time in a vision. And I said vision, it was just more of an inside thing. I saw it more inside my spirit. I believe it was like a vision. I could see it. It was like a movie. But it's more on the inside of my spirit, you know. And in my mind's eye almost, and you'd say. And I just saw these miracles beginning to take place. It was just like popping here and popping there. And people would just receive. And they would get up. It looked like chaos to me. I mean, divine chaos. But they were running around the building and getting excited. And other people would, you know, they would run past somebody and they would jump up out of a wheelchair. I mean, it was just amazing. And I mean, it did finally calm down once everybody got cured. But I mean, it sure looked like divine chaos to me. And I kind of see that with Jesus. I mean, there's all these people. And I mean, they saw so many people get healed. They all want to get to him. And they just rushed. Now, see, they didn't have a whole lot of people. Now, Jesus did send his disciples out, you know, eventually put his anointing on them. I mean, they just operated in that. They weren't even born again, you know, but his same presence. And so as we move into this, I believe there's going to be an anointing that's transferable. People will be coming in, getting saved, and be able to come into that place. But see, we don't want to rush any person into such a thing, because any of us are still human. Just like Jesus, he was tempted just like you. The devil tempted him. He said, "Why don't you bow down? Just bow down and worship me, Jesus. I'll give you all this kingdom that I've got." And he had it too. He showed it to him. He saw it. You know, and sometimes we give up. You know, are we going to give in to the love of money? Are we going to give in to, you know, people exalting you, making you somebody? You know, I saw a video on the YouTube one time. They put this guy up in this chair and they're chanting, and I was scared. I mean, it scared me to see such a thing, to put a man in that place and sit him up on this chair, and they're chanting and saying what a great leader he is, and I mean, in the church. And I just like, wow, unbelievable. You know, I mean, I understand, you know, I mean, Peter and Paul, they thought they were gods. They had to rent their clothes. I mean, they tore their clothes off themselves saying, "No, we are men. We're not gods." You know, they thought the gods came down to visit them. It was so powerful. But anyway, this is where we're going. And these are some of the things, you know, I think these are just some scriptures where we see Jesus operating. We see how he operated in the earth, what his main function was. I mean, he was with the disciples a lot. He poured into the disciples constantly. But he also, they went with him. They were there. They saw him. That's one reason Paul couldn't have been, you know, some people say, well, he should have been the 12th disciple, but Paul wasn't there. He didn't see these things. He didn't walk with Jesus, so he couldn't have been. So he wasn't chosen by any means. Of course, he wasn't even born again yet, you know, when they did choose, you know, in the Acts. Anyway, that's another story. But let's look at another place here. Here we see a revival. Let's go back to Matthew real quick, 19. Matthew 19. It says, okay. Now, this is just the first couple of verses, but it says, "And it came to pass," seems like that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he was talking, he was ministering to them, talking to them. He says, "He departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there." He healed them there. Great multitudes followed him. Now see, it must have been, see, the things they heard about him, but also the things he said. He was just talking to him. He's getting ready to leave. He's already blessed them. The service is kind of, you know, it kind of, I see it as like the service is over. You know, you're dismissed. And here they come. They're following him, the great multitude. And he just began to heal their sick. They just began to receive healing in their life. Because they begin to see what the Father is really like, what he's like. Hey, this is available. I want that. I need that. I need that miracle. When we become desperate, I think sometimes, see, we see people following them. In our services, we see everybody getting ready to go home. We got to go have lunch. We don't stick around. You know, and some of the greatest miracles I've seen was after most of the people left. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. You know, I mean, not that it has to be that way. But just, you know, sometimes we don't stick around for the grand finale. We have to hurry off. But this multitude, no, they wanted to follow him more. They're going after him. They're going with him. Wherever you're going, Jesus, I'm going. I'm following you. And they received something from him. Hallelujah. Sometimes we've got to get desperate for God. Boy, it's getting close to noon. It is noon. Well, give me a couple more scriptures and we'll stop here today. Let's go over to the book of Acts. Now, I didn't just happen in this. Those are the ones with Jesus here. But there was also revival. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. He found him dead, his wife dead, and fear came upon them all. Now, there's an interesting statement. Great fear, verse 11 says, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. There became a reverence for God.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, Ananias and Sapphira had come in and they thought they'd lie about what had happened. There's no reason they had to lie. No reason. Paul said, you know, Peter said, he said, hey, it could have been. Peter said, you could have done whatever you wanted to with that money. But you have agreed to lie about it, both of you. First the husband goes in, you know, he dies. Here comes his wife. You know, she figured, well, he must have talked to him. We're on sure ground. And, you know, she goes in and she died too. And great fear came upon all the church. They weren't so much afraid, I don't believe, of God, but there was a reverence for God. We don't want to do that. We're not going to lie right there in front of God. And a lot of times we want the power of God and the presence of God, but if our life is not in order, it's dangerous. Yeah. And people think it's not, but I'm telling you, if we don't change, you know, if God deals with us on some things and you want to operate in that kind of power and you don't change, it could kill you. Mm-hmm. It very well could. And there's people that have lost their lives. And it's going to happen again. It's going to happen more and more as we move into the glory of God. We think we're just immune to all those things. But this is New Testament, not in the Old Testament.
That's right.
Well, God just wouldn't. No, God didn't really judge them. They chose their self. They chose their judgment. You know, I mean, we can, when we know we're not supposed to do something like that, they knew in their heart, hey, this, we're lying. We're going to make it clear, you know, and everybody says, well, it seems like such a little thing, you know. They could have kept their money, yeah, but they didn't. They hid it, you know. They says, well, they wanted to make themselves, in other words, look better than what they were.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the money we got. This is all the money from our property. They didn't have to say that. They could have just said, this is what we're given.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know. It's yours. It belongs to you. If you sell your car or your house or whatever you own, you can do what you want with that money. It's yours. But it's not to be used to make you look better. Amen. Maybe, I don't know what the reason they did it. You know, maybe they wanted some position in the church. Who knows? Anyway, you might not want that, but this is the glory of God. And I think, you know, we see here again more happened. You know, this is really the answer to their prayer in verse 30, you know, that God would stretch forth his hand to heal. If you look in 4:30, Acts 4:30, you know, 29 and 30, they were praying. And now, Lord, behold the threatenings. They were threatened. Don't preach this gospel anymore. He said, but they said, Lord, behold the threatenings. Now, I don't think they were all saying exactly, Lord, behold their threatenings, you know. But they were in one heart, one voice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Their heart was crying out to God. They were probably praying in tongues, and somebody was praying to the Lord, and this was the gist of their heart, you know. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And so they did that, and the place is shaken. The Holy Ghost comes, you know, verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke the word of God with boldness. And then we go over to the fifth chapter, and right here, verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified God. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Hallelujah. They were healed every one. So here we see they had got threatened. They said, Lord, give us more boldness. Amazing. They didn't say, Lord, please stop the threatenings. You know? They said, Lord, you've heard their threats. Give us greater boldness, Lord. Be bold and stretch forth your hand, Lord. Let us see these signs and wonders. Let's get them done. And that can be prayed today. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen a lot of signs and wonders in the church yet. But we're moving that direction. I believe we're entering into some of the, you know, I mean, it's been the end times for a long time, really. You know, but we're seeing we're moving more and more into the end of the end. You know, we're seeing deception come into the body of Christ and into the world. I mean, people are in delusions, you know, really. Some of the things that the world believes now is just, we just didn't think it'd be thinkable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never would think, you know, I don't want to get into too much, but it never dawned on my mind, you know, that in my time that would ever be. But when we see, the more we move into the days of Noah, it says their hearts were evil continually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why we must stand strong upon the Word of God as our final say-so in this life.
Yes.
It is the answer. It is the truth. And we're going to stand strong. I mean, that's our desire, is to stand strong with that and to be strong about that. That anyway, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. But I think it's something we need to think about. Because, yes, we want to be like Jesus. But we're also facing some times right now. I mean, this COVID-19 is nothing compared to what's really out there. I mean, this is very mild. Yeah, it affects all of our lives. And we're going through, and I'm sure some people is, you know, gets a little stirred up, crazy, you know, they got to get out, and, you know, not used to being pinned up or, you know, stuck in that place. I mean, for us, it could be a joy. Time to reacquaint ourselves with our family. Time to get acquainted with, you know, maybe play with their grandchildren a little bit more or give them a call. Connect with some people you didn't before, but also to connect with God. Have time for His Word. He said, well, I love you, Lord. You know you gave me a bunch of letters here. And I know I've read a few. But, you know, I thumbed through last week, you know, and I brought my Bible to church and everything. And I read the two scriptures that the pastor preached on, you know. But I haven't really thought about them all week, you know. But these are things to think about, how Jesus operated. And we see the will of the Father in action. His desire, as He is. You know, we can be in this world, you know, and we should walk. Yeah. If we say we abide with Him or live with Him or live in Him, we should walk even as He walked. That's that 1 John 2:6 verse that I love. I love that verse, but it challenges me greatly. Am I really going to walk like Jesus walked? Not just in the night, you know, these things are good, but we should walk to the fullness of it. You know, a lot of times we get to a certain place. Maybe we walk in a 30-fold place with God or 30% of the way. Or maybe we get up to 60% of the way and we see some miracles and everything else. But that last 40% where it costs us our life, where Jesus had to go to the point, say, Lord, I'm going all the way to death for everybody. I'm going to walk with You, Lord. And He did. He walked perfectly with the Father. He had no will of His own. You know, He didn't do His own thing. He never got married. I'm sure maybe He had a desire to get married. What if He wanted to have children? Well, that would never cross Jesus' mind because He knew. No, I'm sure it did cross His mind. You know, I'm sure He saw the pretty girls. You know, He didn't lust after them, but He saw them. You know, I mean, no, it's okay sometimes, you know. I mean, a man can truly, you know, admire some beauty without lusting after that person. You know, it's possible. Men, it is possible. So, but tell me it's not. You know, I had a guy, oh, I just can't. Well, you can't, but I can. So if I can, it's possible for others.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, it's a matter of where we are, but to walk with Him, to see how He walked. And to press our life into Him. Now, we know how to do that here. I mean, it's been taught to you guys over and over, I'm sure. What? meditating in the Word of God, getting that Bible out, reading His love letters to you. Amen. His Word to you, His truths to us that cannot lie. These are settled forever in heaven. It's not going to change. It's not going to be different tomorrow than it is today. Mm-hmm. You know, we are so blessed to have Him. To have a truth that's eternal, that's settled, that's sure, it's not going to change. Glory to God.
Amen.
And the Father's will is not going to change. He still wants us well. And if we're struggling to receive those things, we don't give up.
Right.
Amen. We keep pressing in. Say, Lord, I need this. I desire this. I desire You. Yeah. I want to touch Your heart, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, thank You for healing me, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in my life. Thank You that You're bringing it to pass. Now, if you're going to be passive and indifferent about it, it's probably not going to happen. Not to be mean, but that's true.
Yeah.
It's just not. He said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, not, yep, we could be filled. We got enough complacency and passiveness in the body of Christ. And what we need is we need us to be hungry for these things. And when we see what Jesus did, and how He operated, it brings us to that place of, oh Lord, I desire that. You know, I want to hear the Father too. I want to know His place for me. Hallelujah. And whatever it is, you know, I mean, if He tells us to stay behind the scenes the rest of our lives, we've got to learn to be happy with that. That may be where we fit or where we live, you know. That may be your place. Well, brother, we got to have, yes, you have miracles there too, in that place.
Yeah.
You know, but some of us, I mean, most of us, to be honest with you, are not going to have our names up in lights, you know. I mean, it's just not going to happen for us. I mean, there's a few people that God has raised up like that, but most of them are under great attack. They do. They have a lot of attacks, but they also get some results. But we want our name to be known in hell and in heaven. Amen?
That's it.
Amen.
As the Son of the living God.
That's right.
And someone to be contended with. Because it's not about who we are, but who He is.
Yeah.
Amen and amen.